How is everybody this morning? This is why we live in Bullhead City, Arizona, for days like this, huh? Reed doesn't have 10,000 rounds of ammunition. I'd have to tell a story. So if you don't know me, I'm a hospice chaplain, and I visit people in their homes. I'm retiring this Wednesday, so I'm not a hospice chaplain for very long. I had a patient once who was a gun guy. His wife was sick. And one time we were talking out of his house, and he said, "Do you want to see my guns?" And I said, "Okay." And so he opened up this gun safe that was filled with rifles and pistols, and he said, "What kind of guns do you shoot?" And I told him, and he pulled out a 3-pound coffee can. You remember the old 3-pound coffee cans? Filled with 223 shells. And he says, "Here, grab a couple handfuls of these before you go." And he had like 4 of those cans in there with different calibers of shells reloaded. He said, "Is that all you want? I'd fill my, you know, two big handfuls of these 223 shells." But anyhow. So I want to start today, and I want to talk about a very important concept in Christianity. And I think for the most part, I'm going to talk about this in a way maybe that hasn't been talked about or that you haven't heard talked about before. And that subject is God's blessing on our lives. So let me start by saying this. Satan has worked extremely hard to lie to Christians about what God's blessing is and about God's blessing in general. Okay? Because if you cannot believe the promises of God that relate to the blessing of God, you will have trouble living in the emotional, the spiritual, the physical, and the financial blessings of God. Today, we're going to start kind of at the beginning of the Bible, and we're just going to walk through it, and we're going to see two things. We're going to see, first of all, that God promised us a blessing, but second of all, that the blessing is a covenant that God made with us. So let's start at the beginning. God told this to Noah in Genesis 9:1. And if you know me, you know most of these scriptures are going to be in the NIV. Okay, I've got a couple other scriptures thrown in here just for fun. But if you have an NIV or if you have a phone with the NIV on it, you probably want to open that because that's what most of these scriptures are. So Genesis 9:1, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" The Message translation of Genesis 9:1 says this: "God blessed Noah and his sons. He said, 'Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth. Every living creature, birds and animals and fish, will fall under your spell and be afraid of you.'" And I'm just going to stop there. Next, I want to bring up what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:1. Genesis 12:1. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land that I will show you,'" Genesis 12:2, "'and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" This is kind of interesting. Then listen to this. This is what God tells the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 8:18, and I think this is very important. "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms what? His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. Isn't it interesting that God himself tells the nation of Israel that the ability to produce wealth, financial prosperity, financial blessing, that is how God confirms his covenant with them? Now think of all the ways that God could have said, I'm going to confirm my covenant with you. And then think about this. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors. I think that's something maybe that we have never really considered and thought about. That it's not just an idea, it's not even really just a doctrine, but it's a covenant that God made with the people of Israel and with us, as you'll see as we get going here. Now listen to what God told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 15:4. I probably gave her the wrong scripture, but that's okay. It's Deuteronomy 15:4. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land your Lord God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. Isn't that an interesting thought? There needs to be no poor people among you. Do you notice what he didn't say in that scripture? He didn't say that people who aren't as smart will be poor. No. He didn't say people who aren't as cute will be poor. No. He said there'll be no poor people among you. In the land your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. Isn't that an amazing thought? No poor people among you. This seems to me to be completely opposite to the lie that Satan wants to promote, that being poor equals spirituality, or that just getting by means that you're more humble. Isn't that what religion tells us? That's just a lie from the pits of hell. And that's all that is. It's the way that Satan wants to try to steal from us, not just the promise of God, but the covenant that God wants to make with us, that he made with us already. And you know, this promise was given to the nation of Israel in reality to all who would fully obey the Lord their God and carefully follow all his commands. Now that's something that we don't hear a lot, but there was a choice given to the people of Israel. There's a choice given to us. Deuteronomy 28:1 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all the commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Amen. First, God says he will bless the country that we live in. And he says this in Deuteronomy 28:1. For the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2 says, all the blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Verse 3 says, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Verse 6 says, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Verse 7 says, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction and flee from you in seven. And verse 10 says, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. Amen. I just want to ask you a quick question. You know, this nation, America, the United States, started out from a bunch of people who just wanted to find religious freedom. Is that right? Yes. And because they were people who sought God, who served God, who wanted to follow God with all their hearts, what did God do to the nation of America? Did he make all the nations in the earth fear us? Yes. Certainly did, didn't he? Yes. Did he give us favor on every side? Yes. He certainly did, didn't he? The nations that rose up against us, did they flee from us? Yeah. They certainly did, didn't they? Yeah. Isn't this the promise that God gives to a nation? Yeah. when those people will serve him with all of their hearts. So let's talk about God's blessing on our families. Deuteronomy, same scripture, verse 4. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. Amen. That's a promise to us that our families will be blessed. Yes. Let's talk about spiritual blessings in verse 9. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord and walk in obedience to him. Isn't that interesting that in this scripture, the blessing is described in a lot of different ways. It's described as a blessing on our families. It's described as a blessing on our country. It's described as a blessing on our spirituality. Okay? And woven throughout all the other promises that God gives us in that scripture, in those verses, our financial blessing. And let's just look at them real quick. Let's start with verse 8. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. Yep. And the Lord will bless you in the land he is giving you. Yep. Is it interesting? There's an interesting thought. When I was a young Christian, they said, well, you got to pray that the Lord will lead you and guide you to the right job. But this scripture is saying that God will bless whatever I put my hands to. And that's what we should be doing as Christians, right? That's just what every Christian should be doing, putting their hands to work so that God can bless them. Amen. Okay? That was just a side note. It's not in my notes, so you got that for free, okay? So let's go on to verse 11. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land that he swore your ancestors to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Amen. Now, I want to just step back for a moment and say this. We all understand that when God was speaking to the nation of Israel, that was an agrarian nation, right? They raised crops and they raised animals. Do we understand that? Yes. Nobody worked in the IT department, okay? Nobody worked at a casino, right? Nobody was a hospice chaplain, right? These people raised animals and they raised crops. So when you read this in the Bible, what God is saying is that I'm going to bless you wherever you are. Whatever you put your hand to, whatever the job is you put your hand to, I'm going to bless you with that. Amen. That's what he's saying. Don't just think because he says he'll send rain in the right season that you got to go out and plant a garden. I'd like to plant a garden, but around here, pretty tough thing to do, right? Now, maybe some of you have gardens, which great. Can you imagine, I just want to say this for a minute, that when God was speaking to these, he said, and I will send the right phone call to you so that you can answer it and tell the people the right message and put it in your computer. These people would not have understood that. But he spoke to them in language that they could understand. And when we read these scriptures, we have to just translate it into what we're doing today. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're putting our hand to, whatever we've done, or whatever we have put our hand to if we're retired. Okay? These promises in Deuteronomy 28 were given to anyone who fully obeys the Lord their God and carefully follows all his commands. And if that was given to them who fully obey God, it seems like the same thing applies to us today, doesn't it? If we fully obey God, if we follow God with all our heart, we will also inherit these blessings. And that's exactly what I'm going to prove to you from the Word of God today. It's interesting that in the next verse in Deuteronomy 28, God tells his people this. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, and you do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today. This is Deuteronomy 28:15, is that right? Okay. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Yeah. So what's God done? He simply gave them a choice, did he not? Yes. He simply gave them a choice, the same choice that we have every day, isn't it?
Yes.
Now let's just be honest about humanity. None of us here in this room, I don't think, are perfect. Now, if you're perfect, raise your hand. I'll recognize you. And, you know, maybe you should finish this message, you know. None of us are perfect, right?
Amen.
We all make mistakes. Every human being throughout history has been the same human being. We all struggle to do what is right. We struggle to say yes when we should say yes. And we struggle to say no when we should say no. Is that right? That is human beings. That is what we got when Adam and Eve decided to eat whatever that fruit was that they ate. Okay? We struggle with sin. And we'll always struggle with sin. This scripture is not talking about somebody who does not struggle with sin. This scripture is talking about somebody who has decided in their heart that they are going to serve God to the best of their abilities. This scripture is talking about a person who, when they make a mistake, is honest enough to say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, get up, let's go on. Okay? That's what this scripture is talking about. Okay? So the people of Israel had a choice, serve God and be blessed abundantly, or turn away from God and be under the curse. And that is why in Deuteronomy 15, 4 and 5, the Bible says that there should be no poor people among you. This is also why in Deuteronomy 15, 11, the Bible says there will always be poor people among you. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that God said to an entire nation? Now, I want you to, we say the nation of Israel. When God gave the nation of Israel this message, there were over 1 million people who left Egypt and came out of Egypt, right? So he's giving this message not to a small band of people wandering in the desert, but over 1 million people that were journeying through the desert being led by God. And to those millions of people that were there, he said, there never needs to be a poor person among you. I don't care what station in life you are. I don't care how smart you are, how cute you are, how dumb you are, how tall you are, how thin you are. There shouldn't be a poor person among you. And then he goes on to say, unfortunately, because people have choices that they need to make in their lives, there is always... Isn't that interesting that he says there will always be poor among you?
Yeah.
And I think that's just an incredible, incredible statement of contrast. So I want to move on to the New Testament and the promises in the New Testament. But before I do, I want to quote one other scripture in Proverbs 10:22. I gave her all these scriptures. I probably put them in the wrong order for her. So... this is out of the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Isn't that interesting? The blessing of the Lord brings wealth. The blessing, in other words, the covenant that God made with us, the covenant that God gave us, brings wealth. And he adds no toil to it. That means if we just put our hands to it and we work, it won't be toilsome. It won't be a burden. It'll be something that God makes a blessing. Now, a lot of people say, well, working is not a blessing. And that's probably true. Not all jobs are a blessing. But all jobs are a blessing to you because they provide for your family. Is that not right? And all jobs are a blessing to you because God promised that he would bless everything you put your hand to.
That's right.
Amen. Proverbs 11:25. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed.
Amen.
So I want to make a statement. If in the Old Testament, God's covenant with his people was confirmed by his blessing them with the ability to produce wealth, then we should see, if this applies to us nowadays, we should see these same teachings in the New Testament. Is that not right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, we know that the whole Bible is anointed, that the whole Bible, that all the scripture is for us to teach and to teach us, right? So let's look in the New Testament. Let's start in Luke 4:16. Now, this is kind of interesting, I think, for a number of reasons. And let's start 4:16. It's talking about Jesus, and it says he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. 4:17. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor.
Yes.
He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free." Now, is that not talking about the blessing of God? Think about that for a minute. Proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners. We've all been prisoners of something at some time, haven't we?
Yes.
Recovery of sight to the blind, physical and spiritual blessing.
Yes.
Set the oppressed free. How many of us have been oppressed? I raise my hand. I've been oppressed in my life. The very interesting thing about this scripture is that Jesus did not quote it correctly. This was not what Isaiah said. Because you know what Isaiah said? He went on to say, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't include that, the day of vengeance of our God? And why didn't he include that? Because it doesn't apply to New Testament Christians. The day of vengeance of our God passed over us the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from our sin. That was the end of vengeance, and it was the beginning of God's desire to show his blessings to each one of us. The Greek word for poor in this scripture, where Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." The Greek word for poor specifically has to do with finances. It means financially poor or not having money. And isn't it interesting that the first thing Jesus was anointed to do was make sure that we wouldn't be poor?
Yeah.
Because what's proclaiming good news to the poor? He said, we won't be poor no more, right?
Amen.
Isn't that good news to the poor?
Amen.
I mean, praise God. And that's exactly what the scripture means. That's exactly what the Greek word for poor means in that scripture. It doesn't mean spiritual poorness. It doesn't mean health poorness. It means financial poorness.
Yes.
He came to proclaim good news to the poor. John 10:10, another thing that Jesus said. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified version. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came. Who's this talking? Jesus, right? I came that they, who's they? Those people who would be saved, right? Jesus is saying this before he died. So he's referring to a time that's coming after his resurrection. I came that they, all of us, all Christians, everybody who's saved, might have and enjoy life. Not just have life, notice, but enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
Amen.
That's quite a scripture, isn't it?
Yeah.
I came, Jesus said.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Not just have life, but enjoy your life. Isn't that interesting? Enjoy your life. He wants to make your life a place where you can enjoy it, where you can have it in abundance, and you can have an overflowing life in God.
Amen.
The Passion Translation in that same verse, did I tell you to look up the Passion? I don't know if I told her to look up the Passion or not, but the Passion Translation says, good, thank you. The thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. Okay, let's stop. I want to stop right there. Who is the thief that this is talking about?
Satan,
right? What does he want to do to you in your life? He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy, right? When we believe the lie that poverty equals spirituality, or that just getting by means that we're more humble and we're more spiritual, when we believe that lie, Satan has been able to steal from us.
Yes.
Been able to destroy part of our life that we should have. And that is the lie that has been propagated throughout hundreds of years of Christianity. You know, right there, that's it. We're not going there. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 9. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result to God.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that the covenant of blessing that God gave us is so that we can turn around and be a blessing to other people. That is the covenant of blessing that God intended for us to have. Our generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It is when we trust God to enrich us in every way that our generosity results in a blessing to other people. So how in the world, let me ask you this question, how in the world can we be generous on every occasion if we are poor and just getting by?
Yes.
How in the world can we be obedient to what Paul just spoke to us under the anointing of the Holy Spirit if we can barely pay our bills, if we can barely figure out how we're going to survive till tomorrow? What in the world do Christians living in poverty or lack testify about God to this world? I want to say that again. What in the world do Christians living in poverty or lack testify about God in this world? All it testifies is that Satan has truly been able to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
But we are living in the promise that God is able to bless us abundantly. Therefore, we can be generous on every occasion. Then we will testify that the blessing of God is able to provide abundantly for everyone.
Amen.
Which goes right along with another thing Jesus said in Luke 6:38. And you all probably know this verse in Luke 6:38. It says this, "Give and it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured onto you." Now, I want you to notice that Jesus just didn't stop after he said, "Given it will be given unto you." If you listen to religion, you know, that's where it stops. Given it will be given unto you. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, a good measure will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your lap. And other translations say men will pour into your lap.
Amen.
The Passion Translation puts that this way. Give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Isn't that an interesting thought? It's not about us. It's about us being conduits. Yes. It's about us being willing to take it in and give it out. Yes. It's about us being willing to be a funnel. God, you bring it in and I'll funnel it out to wherever you want it to go. Yes. Okay? Jesus continued the theme of overflow and abundance in the scriptures concerning our prayers. Now, I mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 that there were blessings spiritually. This is what Jesus said in Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. So we all know what happened before this. Jesus cursed the fig tree. The next day they came out, they saw the fig tree. And now Jesus is talking to his disciples about this fig tree that's withered, right? Okay, so Jesus said, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says unto this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer. What's the word? Whatever. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Isn't it interesting that this entire scripture, starting with the fig tree that withered and going on to what Jesus said, deals specifically with physical things? There's nothing spiritual being dealt with here at all. Jesus is talking about prayer, and he's talking about what we can accomplish in prayer, our spiritual lives, right? And he's saying that if you believe in me, if you believe in me, the name of Jesus can do anything. If you believe that, then you can say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Amen. Now, sometimes that's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? Yeah. Mountain outside, you're saying to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. But that's what Jesus said, isn't it? Yes. I think what Jesus was really trying to tell us is that there's nothing in life, in this physical world, that you cannot alter if you pray and believe in me. Okay? There's nothing in this physical life that you cannot alter if you will believe that God has the power to do it, including moving that mountain. Okay, there's nothing in your life right now, I want to tell you this. There's nothing in your physical life right now that is going on. There's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no oppression, there's no discouragement. There's nothing in your physical life right now that is going on that you cannot affect by believing prayer, by trusting prayer. There's no situation in your job that you cannot affect by your believing prayer. So this isn't in my notes, but I just want to throw this in for free. I'm giving you this for free. God uses life to speak to us.
Yes.
Does everybody understand that? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of a Christian speaks to us. But many times God uses life to speak to us. In our lives, in every human being, there is a lot of things that need to change, starting with me. In our lives, there's a lot of things that need to change. Most of the time, God uses life and the situations you come in contact with to change those things in your life. And that means that you have to be a person. We all have to be people who are willing to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, this person has to change.
Yeah. Yes.
My attitudes have to change.
That's right.
My ideas have to change.
Yeah.
My biases or prejudices,
yeah,
they have to change.
Amen.
When you're looking in the mirror and life is happening to you and you feel like you're being squeezed, that's the time that God is trying to say to you, change.
Yeah.
Commit yourself to me anew. Be willing to be broken. Be willing to be open to me. Be willing to look at yourself and see this log that's in your own eye. Now I forgot completely where I was. Okay, let's go on to John 16:23. Another thing that Jesus said that I think is very, very pertinent. John 16:23 says this. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Now, Jesus is still here speaking this, right? So he says, in that day, meaning when he's dead, when he's risen from the dead, when the Spirit's poured out, right? That's the day he's talking about here, okay? But because he's still on earth, he can't say today. He has to say, you know, when that day comes. So anyhow, just in that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Yes. Verse 24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Your joy will be complete. Not just I want you to be a little happy, but your joy will be complete. You'll have complete joy in your life. Ask, and you'll receive. And by receiving, your joy will be complete. Boy, that sounds a lot like what God told the Israelites when he said, I give you the ability to produce wealth, and therefore I confirm my covenant to you. That's exactly what this is saying, right? When you receive the answers to your prayers prayed in faith, your joy will be complete.
Yeah.
It's the same blessing that was promised to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Let's go on to Ephesians 3:20, if we would. And I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. Ephesians 3:20 in the New Living Translation. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think.
Yes.
Infinitely more than we might ask or think. If God, through the Holy Spirit that lives within us, can accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think, then that sounds a lot like blessing in our lives.
Yes.
Infinitely more. You know, there's a million ways that Paul could have said this, but the Holy Spirit anointed him to say that through his mighty power at work within us. That's talking about the Holy Spirit that lives within us, right?
Yes.
That's his power working within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think.
Yeah.
I can't even... Sometimes I try to wrap my mind around what infinitely more really means, and I have trouble doing it.
Yeah.
Infinitely more. That's more than I can imagine, more than I can think about.
Yeah.
Infinitely more. That's what God wants to accomplish. Infinitely more than I might ask or think. The real truth about God's blessing is that if Satan can steal the promises of financial prosperity from you, then he will also be able to steal the promises of emotional, physical, and spiritual blessing that God has promised you.
Amen.
And I want to repeat that statement because it's so important. If Satan can steal the promises from you of financial prosperity, then he will also be able to steal the promises of emotional, physical, and spiritual blessing that God has promised us.
Amen.
There is no difference in the New Testament or the Old Testament between the blessing on our finances, the blessing on our health, the blessing on our emotions, the blessing on our spirituality. They are all one blessing. They are not different parts of the blessing. That is the blessing. The blessing that God made a covenant with us about deals with our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, and our financial health.
Yeah.
Don't ever let Satan lie to you about any part of that because it's all one. It's all the promise that God has made us. I want to go on to 2 Corinthians 9 and starting with verse 11 if we could. 2 Corinthians 9 starting in verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. The service you perform is not about supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Proverbs 11:25, which we already read, and I'll just quote it. It simply says, and then you will have the ability to refresh others, refresh others, and that you yourself will be refreshed.
Yes.
So let's jump back to Exodus 15:26, if we can, real quick. Exodus 15:26. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in your eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Yeah,
and that exact thought from Exodus 15:26 is echoed in 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 that says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, by his stripes, we have been healed.
Amen.
So the blessing that we've been talking about includes physical healing, includes physical health, spiritual blessing, or blessing in our relationship with God. We introduced it from Deuteronomy 28:9. Deuteronomy 28:9 said, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. But Paul said this in Romans 3:21, echoing what Deuteronomy 28:9 said. Romans 3:21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Verse 22. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that right? That's talking about human beings. Now look at this. We are all justified. All of us who sin and fall short of the glory of God. We are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's not our efforts. It's not our work. It's not our righteousness. The fact that we're justified came from his grace through Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of the dead. That's why we're justified freely through his grace. Not because we're perfect, not because we never make mistakes, but because Jesus Christ died for us on the cross and rose again, freeing us from the power of sin. And that is why we are justified freely. That's part of the blessing that God wanted, spiritual blessings in our lives. If you want to live the life God desires you to have, it's important that you understand this whole concept of whole life blessing, well-being, success, abundance, and overflow. These are the definitions that God gave us of God's blessing. And despite religious tradition claiming that it is ungodly or selfish, prosperity is God's will for you today. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, then the blessing of God is God's covenant for you. Because the truth is that financial prosperity is not the problem. The problem is greed and pride and selfishness in human beings. Okay? This is the problem we've had with financial prosperity and with the teaching of financial prosperity. It's because human beings are greedy. Human beings are selfish. Is that not true? All of us are. I'm claiming that in my life, unfortunately, also. I have that living in me. I need to get rid of it. Okay? You know, people have fled. People have fled from the doctrine of God's blessing because of that. Because of what they see in themselves. Because of what they see in others. And that's always going to be in us as long as we're in these bodies of flesh. Is that right? But that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless us. That doesn't mean that the blessing isn't for us. It just means that we have to be careful. That we have to be careful of who we are. It means that we have to be aware that we're all human beings and that there's things in our lives that we need to change. So Deuteronomy 8:10 says this, and I want to read this to you because I think this is a very good thought. Deuteronomy starting in verse 10, and we're going to go through verse 14. When you have eaten and are satisfied, so this is what God told the Jewish people. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Notice where God has brought these people to. They were eating and they were satisfied. They were building fine houses and settling down. Their herds and their flocks had grown large, and their silver and gold had increased, and all that they had was multiplied. This was God's will for them because it's God's covenant to them, including us. This is God's covenant. Including us. This is God's blessing. Everyone who served God in the Old Testament was living in prosperity or had the opportunity to live in prosperity if they kept the commands of the Lord. Poverty and lack were evidence that people were not keeping the commands of the Lord, that they were not walking in obedience to him. Notice in all the scriptures I've quoted, they don't say that God will give you just enough to get by. Instead, the Bible verses I've quoted use words like overflow, plentiful, and abundance. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly in your life, above all that you ask or think. That's what the prosperous life, the life of blessing, really means. Whole life prosperity. The idea that God wants his people sick or sad or living in poverty is completely against the Bible, against what he said, and it's against God's very nature. The verses I've quoted and many more in the Bible support the truth that God neither wants his children afraid of prosperity, nor does he want them to... The word is obsess, okay? Nor does God want them to assess... obsess over, okay. You know what the word is. I just ran into a block here, okay? Money is a tool. Yes. Money is not good or bad in itself, okay? Much like a contractor needs a hammer, a drill, and a saw to build a physical house, you need money to build your financial house. Amen. And like any other resource at our disposal, it belonged to God before we have it, and it should belong to God when we have it. Is that right?
Yes.
We don't truly own it. Instead, we should use it to testify of the goodness of God and expand the kingdom of God. Yes. That's what finances are about. 3 John 2 in the King James says this. 3 John 2. In the King James, beloved, I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
So who's John? John's a beloved disciple. He wrote the Gospel of John. Is that right?
Yeah.
And what does he say? Beloved, I wish above all things,
yep.
Above all things, that you may as prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen.
financial prosperity, physical prosperity, and spiritual prosperity.
Yes, sir.
All in this whole life prosperity, all in this one verse. And I want to finish today. Many of you were saying you should have finished before this, but I'm going to finish now. With Psalms 35:27 out of the King James Version. Psalms 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad,
yes,
that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Everybody repeat this after me. Which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. So what is his righteous cause? Prosperity of his servants. My friends, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. I'm not talking about that you will live in a mansion on a hill and that it's just you and your four and no more. What I'm talking about is that God has a life for us where we can live in the blessing of God, where we can be conduits that God can move and give through. Okay? You know, earlier when Reed was giving the announcements, he made an announcement about pastor appreciation.
Yeah.
We are the people God wants to use to bless the pastors of this church and of any church that we go to, right?
Yes.
God does not have angels sitting in the back row with wallets full of money that he's going to use to bless the pastor. No, those angels are right here. There's two of them right here. There's one of them right there. There's here. There's an angel here. There's two of them there. There's one of them right here. That's the angels God's got with billfolds or purses to bless the pastors. That is God's purpose in life, to testify to this world that he is a God of blessing, because the people of God are blessed and can be a blessing.
Amen.
To others, to this world. The testimony of God's covenant is that we are living in a blessing and we can be a blessing.
Amen.
Okay? But like everything else, this is up to you. It's up to you to believe this. It's up to you to believe these scriptures. I cannot believe them for you. All these scriptures I've quoted this morning, I know there was a lot of them, and the only purpose I quoted all these scriptures was for you to see from the very beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible that there is a covenant of blessing that God has made with each one of us. But if we're going to grab a hold of it, if we're going to live in it, then we have to apply our faith to it. We can't just read these scriptures. We have to say, I own that scripture. That scripture's for me. God spoke that to me. He might have spoken thousands of years ago to the Israelites, but he's speaking through them to me.
Yes.
Today, right now, where I'm sitting in this church, he's speaking to me. No matter what job I have, God is saying, I'm going to bless everything you put your hand to. No matter how smart I am, God's saying, my covenant with you is that you can acquire wealth. No matter how tall or short you are, God's saying, my blessings for you, health is for you. Spiritual blessings are for you. Prosperity is for you. Okay? It's for you. Grab a hold of it. Apply your faith to it, just like you apply your faith to anything else in the Bible. You can walk out of here today a different person, but it's up to you. I cannot do it for you. Only you can do it for yourself. We believe the Bible individually. We serve God individually. Your wife cannot serve God for you. Your husband cannot serve God for you. Your brother, your sister cannot serve God for you. Unless you, in your heart, make the decision to believe God and to serve God to your best ability, you cannot grab a hold of anything that God has given you. But if you'll just Commit yourself to God. If you'll just commit your faith to saying, I believe what the Word says is for me in my life.
Yes.
I want to give just a little testimony. I've probably gone too long already, but I want to give a little testimony. Okay. Every major injury I've had in my life has come off the back of a horse, right? I don't know why, but... So me and my cousin are racing, and I'm young, teenager, and I fell off the horse that I was on, and I broke my arm. Well, I broke my arm, my wrist, right-hand wrist. It was bent up in part of my arm when I got up from the ground. Okay. Spent a couple weeks, the first 2 weeks in school, I spent in the hospital up in northern Minnesota, having them put my arm back together, right? So life goes on. And about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I'm working at Sears, moving big appliances around one morning, and I pinch a nerve in my back. And I lose feeling in my right arm, in my right hand, and I'm right-handed. The doctor told me, he said, you know, as you get older, you're going to lose use of your right arm. In fact, you might lose use of the right side of your body. Do you know what I said? I said, no. I am not going to lose use of my right arm. I'm not going to lose use of the right part of my body. I am going to do whatever I have to do to make sure that the right side of my body is as strong as the left side of my body. And I'm going to trust that God is going to heal me from this problem. So if you don't know, I work out on a regular basis. We have a kind of a gym in our home because I don't like to go out to gyms. So we have equipment in our home. And I've worked out for years. The right side of my body is just as strong as the left side of my body. But recently, I'm hugging my wife in bed one day and my right arm starts hurting again. I had a choice that very moment. I had a choice if I was going to put up with that or if I was going to say, no, God, you healed me. My right arm is healed. My nerves are healed. Yes. And that's what I've been saying. Every time that pain tries to come back to my right arm, I just simply say, no. In Jesus' name, my arm is healed. It was healed years ago, and I'm not going to go there anymore. If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, then that means He can do exceedingly abundantly for you. Right now, today, you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to put up with the garbage that comes into your life. You don't have to put up with the lies that Satan tries to tell you. You can simply say, that is not true for me. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. Because I serve a God who has a covenant of blessing with me. And I'm going to live in that blessing. That's everything that I tried to tell you this morning. It's everything I tried to tell you, that there's a covenant of blessing and you can live in it if you want.
Amen.
Okay. So let's close in prayer, okay? Before I close, I would just like to ask the question, if there's anyone here who has never met Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but you want to meet Jesus Christ, you want to have this blessing that I've been talking about this morning, just raise your hand real quick and let me see it. Lord God, Father, I commit the words, the scriptures I've given this morning to you. Cement them in all of our hearts, in all of our minds, God. Let this be something that we walk out of here this morning possessing for ourselves, dear God. Let this be something that goes with us everywhere we go, God. And let us people, everyone who's here this morning, be known as a person of generosity, a person who gives because we have been given to, a person who can bless because we've been blessed. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And you're dismissed. Thank